And a very good morning to Dr. Andrew Rochford. We're going to hopefully answer a few questions this morning. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning.
Doctor, it's been a pretty crazy time, as we all know, the last 12 months, and things are ever-changing, including over the last few hours, of course, with the changes to advice regarding the AstraZeneca vaccine. How are you personally viewing all this?
It's not, to me, and probably everybody in the field, it's not a great surprise. I think with everything that it comes rolling out on the scale of that, and obviously the scrutiny of the entire world is putting everything under, we were always going to get to a point where it came down to making good decisions about what are the benefits and what are the risks of people getting certain vaccines, and obviously the logistics of rolling it out. So it's not something that is uncommon to the provision of these types of kind of population-wide vaccinations. But I guess that for everybody that hasn't in their past lives paid so much attention to what goes on with vaccines, it may seem like it's something out of the ordinary, but it's not. This is how it works. Vaccines are constantly being regulated. They're constantly being monitored. And if something pops up on the radar, then things need to be readdressed.
Absolutely. We certainly put our faith with scientists and those in the know, that's for sure. Now, let's talk about my health record and its relation to the immunisation program.
Yeah, so a recent upgrade has meant that basically what you can do is see your immunisation and vaccination information easily and simply using your My Health Record. This is obviously extremely important for a few different reasons when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine. Firstly, your My Health Record is that repository for all the information about your health from the past, allergies, medications, past medical history. And so for healthcare providers and your doctors deciding which is the best vaccine for you, are you eligible for the phase 1B rollout? The My Health Record helps with those decisions being made. And the other thing is when it comes down to actually monitoring and having your immunization record there and easy to see and easy to share, that's the role of the My Health Record.
Okay, now how do we access that?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ways. You can jump online via the myhealthrecord.gov.au, and on there you'll be able to find how you connect up your MyGov account to get access to your My Health Record. You can also download some of the apps. So there's HealthEye and HealthNow. Those apps will mean that you can access your My Health Record via your mobile phone.
Okay, now what about people who perhaps the elderly who aren't familiar with technology, etc.? And I always used an example of my mother, and she's in her mid-80s, people who can't do this via the latest technology.
Yeah, it really is a little bit of a conundrum there, because obviously those that later stages of life, this is actually the most important part of their healthcare. They invariably are the ones that have the most medications. They have the longest medical history. They've been here for longer than the rest of us, so they've got more medical history. And invariably, they're the ones that need to have that information in one place so that healthcare professionals can see it, share it, and make good decisions about their ongoing care. The challenge is, however, they're not necessarily as confident when it comes to digital technology. So it's really important at this stage for them, one, to talk to their healthcare provider about their My Health Record and how that's being accessed and how that's being used. But also, I think for the younger members of their family, their community, to recognize that maybe a little bit of time set aside to set them up, get them comfortable with it. You can actually be in charge. So you can control your mother's My Health Record if she gives you authority to do that. So you can start becoming a little bit more involved and helpful when it comes to being able to help those older members of our community.
Okay, we can get a bit more proactive there. Mate, I do have a question which was sent in this morning in relation to vaccines against COVID-19 and blood clots. What if someone is currently taking medication that already has possible side effects that indicate clots? For example, I've got here tamoxifen. Is it still advised to get the jab? If so, which one?
Yeah, so there's an ongoing advisory that's happening at the moment to do with the AstraZeneca vaccine. So that's the specific one that has shown up that in certain cases, a very rare form of blood clots is occurring. And that's why overnight we've seen that there's been a change in the advisory that now under 50s, the preferred vaccine is going to be the Pfizer vaccine. But ultimately, when it comes to that very rare form of blood clot and those over the age of 50 getting the AstraZeneca, the benefits of the AstraZeneca vaccine still outweigh those risks. But if you are somebody that is taking a medication, or you may have had a previous history of blood clots, or you've had anaphylaxis or an allergic reaction in the past, it's really important to have the conversation with your healthcare professional before you get that vaccine. Because as I mentioned right back in the beginning, this is a constantly updating process. There's constantly new guidelines and regulations and advisories coming out. So it's just important to have that conversation, and your healthcare professional is the best one to be able to give you the most up-to-date information on which vaccine will suit you best.
Dr. Andrew Rochford, thanks for your time this morning, mate, making things a little clearer for us laymen. Sometimes we do need things to be explained in our terms, and you've certainly done that for us this morning. Much appreciated, mate. Have a great day.
My pleasure. You too.
The Big Breakfast with Blandy. The Fraser Coast 103.5 Triple M.